All right, we started the sermon series that now is the time. We talked about last week, it's time for your gifts to get in action. Today's message, the second sermon, now is the time for a life of impact. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the most impactful man that ever walked upon the face of the earth? How many of you realize that? He was the most impactful man that ever lived on the face of the earth. He knew who he was. He walked in constant fellowship with his Father. His mission was very clear. He understood his purpose. There was a flow of life that came out of him that touched every person that encountered him. John declared in his gospel when he said, "For in him was life, and that life is the light of men." Impactful. Jesus Christ, the most impactful man that ever lived. Now, for you and I to live a life of impact, we must follow him. We must heed the instruction of Hebrews 12:2. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God." Hallelujah. Impact. Today I want to talk to you about living a life of impact. I want to give you a verse of scripture. One of my favorite books of the Bible, particularly of the Old Testament, is the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is a very interesting study because it details the life of Daniel, his experience as he was brought into Babylonian captivity, and how that he was living in a Babylonian culture, but yet he maintained his devotion to God, and because of that, God promoted him even in the ranks of the heathen. Hallelujah. What an incredible story. But Daniel gives us some tremendous insight into a lot of things. His book is most noted for its prophetic significance because he talks about the coming Antichrist and the kingdom of darkness of the last days, and ultimately he talks about the kingdom that is going to conquer every kingdom because that's the kingdom of God. Amen. So Daniel is a very intriguing character study. But he gives us a wonderful verse in Daniel 11 in verse 32. Daniel 11:32. It says, "Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery." He was in that verse, we're not going to dwell on that, but in the historical setting, he was talking about the kings and the rulers. Daniel saw a lot of power shifts of world powers in his time. So he's talking about these world powers. But what I want you to notice is what he says next. "But the people who know their God shall be strong and shall carry out great exploits." The people that know their God, those are the ones who are going to make an impact. People of impact. We have it right here in Daniel 11:32. So, introducing this verse of scripture, get it in your spirit today. Exploits, exploits. They that know God are going to do something for God. Are y'all with me so far? So that brings me to the first point that I want to submit to you today. And that point is this, is that you can be a catalyst for God. You can be a catalyst. You can be a catalyst for God. Get that in your spirit today. I can be a catalyst for God. So let's define what that means. What is catalyst? Well, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary of Words defines it as an agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. My friends, what would happen if all of us began to know God on a deeper level and we began to carry out exploits for Him? What would happen? How many people could be ushered into the kingdom? How many people could see a miracle of God in their lives because you and I have become a catalyst for God, an agent, or we could say a vessel that provokes change. I love what this definition says. I love that it uses the word speed. An agent that provokes or speeds significant change or action. Now, how many of you know in Scripture we are always encouraged that we have to be patient? It is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Anybody familiar with that? It's a concept. The Bible even tells us that the Lord Himself is very patient. It says that He is long-suffering towards all of humanity, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God Himself is very patient. Do you realize we live in a very impatient world? Just pull out in front of somebody in traffic. Or don't move at the red light in that 100th of a second when it changes. People will curse you out for the smallest things. Hello, somebody. So we understand that we have to be patient. But I love the definition because this word catalyst, it talks about something that gains momentum, something that happens quickly. I find in the Scripture that there are moments when things happen and things happen suddenly. There are what we call suddenlies in the Bible. For example, in the book of Acts, it says they're gathered together in the upper room in a prayer meeting. They are waiting for God to pour out of His Spirit. And then the Bible says, then suddenly, like a roaring mighty wind, the Holy Spirit came in, filled all the place where they were sitting. And man, from that moment on, things happened at a rate of speed they had never seen before. You know what happens? They became catalysts for God. So get that in you today. I can be a catalyst for God. See, to be a catalyst for God requires that we have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. And as you and I develop that relationship, as we deepen that relationship with Jesus Christ, something happens on the inside of us. The very life of Jesus Christ begins to forge in the control center of our life. And my friends, when that begins to happen, you are not going to be the same. Your life is going to change. You are going to be different. We are all about change because a catalyst is an agent that produces change, significant change or action. I want to be a catalyst for God. I love what the Bible says in Acts 17:28. It says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. So it is in Jesus that we live and move and have our very existence, because His life is forged on the inside, the center. See, to be a catalyst for God means that we have developed a can-do attitude. Come on, somebody. We live too much with can-do attitude. We live too much with looking at all of our weaknesses, all of our lack of this or lack of that. But if we want to be a catalyst, we have to live with a can-do attitude. And it's in the Bible. Because in Philippians 4:13, the Scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what did Daniel say in 11:32? They that know their God shall be... Help me out here. They that know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He makes me strong. See, to be a catalyst means the world is not changing you. It means you are changing the world. Hallelujah. There's a reason why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to think differently. You have to think with a can-do attitude. I can do it because it is Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things because it is Christ who empowers me. I am not going to allow the world to change me. I am going to change my world. See, that's what being a catalyst is all about. So, my friends, I am here to tell you today that you can be a catalyst for God. And you know what excites me about the book of Daniel? Is that Daniel was a teenager. He was just a teenager. But he was smart. Why was he so smart? He was wise. Why was he so wise? Because he was following God. He was dedicated to God. He was living for God. He was walking in the ways of God. And he became a catalyst. And my friends, the Bible teaches us that God is no respecter of persons. He'll do for our church what he's done for any other church. Oh, and by the way, thank you for sowing financial seed, because the land is paid. Hallelujah. It is paid. Debt free. Hallelujah. Thank you for your vision and for you sowing seed to help us pay off the second piece of land. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what God's going to have us do. I'm not going to build a building unless God tells me to build a building. If he tells me to build a building, I'm going to build a building, because I don't need it if there's not a move of God. So my first purpose is I want a move of God, because if there's a move of God, you need space. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going to be a catalyst for God. Every day I pray, God, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. It says in your word that in the last days you will pour out of your spirit. I believe you. Pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. Because I know there are catalysts that are being called and empowered. Because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's simply looking for those that will say yes to God. That's all he's looking for. God does not look for ability. He looks for availability. Hallelujah. He's the one that gives us the ability. So my friends, get it in your soul. Get it in your spirit. You can be a catalyst for God. Hallelujah. Here's the second thing. Let's talk about these exploits. See, because the Bible says in Daniel 11:32 that we read, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, how do we carry out exploits? Let's first of all define what exploits are. Again, going to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, exploits is defined as a striking or notable deed, a feat, a spirited or heroic act. Now, let's think of Jesus. Did he do a heroic act? Of course. Of course. He went to the cross. He laid down his life for you and I. He died so that we might live. As the Bible says, the righteous died for the unrighteous. The just died for the unjust. He was put to God, he was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive by God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus did the greatest act of love that the world has ever seen. A striking or notable deed, a feat, spirited or heroic act. You can be a catalyst for God. And when He pours Himself into you, you will be amazed of what happens in your life. Because I've said this before, I'll say it again. We can do more than we think we can do. We can accomplish more than we think we can accomplish. Because great is the one who is on the inside of us. That's why I love 1 John 4:4, where it says, greater is He who is on the inside of you than he who is in this world. Praise God. In the book of Colossians, the Bible says that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I just want Jesus. I want more of Jesus. People say, are you a Jesus freak? Yes. What was that? Someone may say when they find out I'm a Jesus freak. Yeah. Anybody remember that song? Anybody know that song? The Newsboys. Come on, somebody. What will people say when they find out I'm a Jesus freak? I don't care. Because when the trumpet sounds, only those that know Him are going. When the trumpet sounds, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible says that God knows those who belong to Him. And when the trumpet sounds, yes, I'm a Jesus freak. And I'm going to be with Him. Hallelujah. Thank God. And my friends, I don't believe that there is anything other than Jesus freaks. Because it's all about Christ. It's all about the Christ life. Even Paul understood that. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. I want to deepen. I want to deepen my walk. I want to deepen my relationship. I want to be a catalyst for God. I want to have impact for Him. Because when it's all said and done, my friends, when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that really matters. The only thing you can carry into eternity is what you invested, who you invested in, who you touched, how you served. Listen, it won't matter what kind of car we had, what kind of neighborhood we lived in, how beautiful our home was. None of that is going to matter. You don't take any of it with you. Job understood that. He said, naked I came into this world, and naked I go out. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I used to love going to visit my mother in the nursing home because the old folks in there, boy, they are characters. I was sitting in a little bingo session. They play bingo over there, you know. Not a gambler, praise God. All, what was on the line was Hershey candy bars. And I was so tempted, I was like, give me a card. I need to play some bingo. Hallelujah. But I was sitting next to a lady in bingo. She leaned over. They all thought I was a priest. You know, because I wear dark pants a lot and dark shirts. And they always thought I was a priest, and they would call me Father. And I'm like, no, I'm a father, yeah, to my children. But I'm a pastor. It doesn't matter. Father, can you pull up my stockings for me, please? True story. So I'm sitting in bingo, and they're calling out the numbers, and a little old lady leans over to me, and she says, you know what? She said, you know, we came into this world with no teeth and diapers. And you know what? We're going out of this world with no teeth and diapers. I said, there's a lot of truth to that right there. That's why I keep a good supply of adult Depends in the attic. Because you never know. Actually, I have them left over. Oh, let me stop. Let me get focused. Hallelujah. Let's get back to exploits. Exploits, this is a great point. Exploits begin with a revelation of God. Look at what this says. Daniel 2, verse 28. Daniel 2, 28. Daniel said, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these." This is an interesting story because King Nebuchadnezzar called all of his magicians and soothsayers, and he said, "I had this dream, and this dream troubled me." And he said, "And the dream has left me." He said, "I don't even remember it. So I need you to tell me what I dreamed, and I need you to tell the interpretation of it." Well, the magicians and soothsayers were like, "Well, this is king. This is unreasonable. Nobody can do that." He said, "If you don't tell me what dream I had and the interpretation, I'm going to cut your head off. All of the wise men in the kingdom of Babylon are going to be executed." That was the word. So the Hebrew children, Daniel and his three companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they caught wind of that, and Daniel said, "Let me go before the king." So that's kind of the setting of this statement. He said, "There is a God. I can't interpret your dream or give the interpretation thereof, but there is a God in heaven." Oh, hallelujah. How many of you know when you don't have the answer, there's a God? Oh, come on, somebody. There's a God in heaven. When you don't know how to pay your note on your car or pay your electric bill, there is a God in heaven. Listen, whatever you go through in life, live with this hope and expectation that there is a God in heaven. Because exploits begin with having that revelation. Because what Daniel was declaring, he was declaring that exploits that are fueled by a revelation of who God is, they understand that God is all powerful and he has the last word. That's why it ain't over till it's over. Come on, somebody. Amen. It ain't over till it's over. God is all powerful and he has the last word. See, Daniel had a revelation of that. There is a God in heaven. Daniel had a revelation that God reveals himself to men and women. God reveals himself. Daniel understood that. That God wants to reveal himself. God wants to be active in our lives. God wants to move within us. Also in that revelation, Daniel understood that God hears and answers prayer when called upon. Maybe that's why the Bible encourages us to pray so much. It says in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Did you thank God you were able to get out of bed this morning? Come on, right? Becky's been giving me a hard time about my left knee. I told her, I don't know what's going on with my left knee. We traveled to our ministers' conference in Fayetteville last month, and when I had to stop to get gas and I got out of the car, I couldn't get the left knee working. Anybody ever have that problem? Sometimes it's just hard. Once it's going, it's all good. But sometimes there's a lack of momentum. And she's telling me, "You need to go see about that knee." I said, "Oh, there ain't nothing wrong with that knee. I'll just slap it a couple times. It'll be all right." You remember Fred Sanford used to beat on the TV. "It'll be all right. Just hit it a couple of times." And, amen. I do that to my knee. Just hit it a couple of times. Everything's fine. It's working good now. It feels great right now. But if I get in that car and go drive for a little while, the thing will lock up on me. I don't know why it does that. But You know, somebody said it's age, but I rebuke that devil in the name of Jesus. And hallelujah. God is a God of truth. And oh, my. Well, let's move on. Hallelujah. Let me give you the third thing. All right, so number two, exploits begin with a revelation of God. Here's the third thing. To do exploits, we must know God. That's what he said in Daniel 11. They that know God shall be strong and carry out exploits. I love John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Hallelujah. That's a great verse. The Gospel of John is awesome. I love the Gospel of John. All these great sayings of Christ, we call the seven great I am sayings of Christ. I mean, all of that is in the Gospel of John. See, we must know God. Jesus said, this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. First epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Wow, what a great verse. To know God. To know God. To do exploits, we must know God. There are a lot of people in the church world that know about God, but they don't know God. Think of it. And that's why their lives don't reflect it. See, when something's happening on the inside, your life reflects it. All right, this word know is this Greek word genosko. It means to know through personal experience, to understand and to perceive, to have knowledge of. To do exploits, we must know God. So we must know him through personal experience. That's why we have to experience God. We have to experience his presence. Everything that we do in the ministry of West Point Church is to bring people into an encounter, into an experience with God. Everything. We give altar calls to that purpose so that people can know God, so they can experience God. The world's got all kind of religions, and people have been killing and fussing and fighting over religion from the beginning of time. But what sets the faith of the gospel apart is because it is this right here. You can know God. You don't have to be a martyr for God. He became a martyr for you. Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, because of that, we should be willing to lay our lives down. Paul said that. But God doesn't require, to have acceptance with him does not require that we do that, because he did it for us. Hallelujah. The only faith in which God died for his people. See, we must experience, I mean, we're talking about the love, you know, that God is love. In him is no darkness at all. We are talking about knowing God. See, humanity is incapable of knowing God on their own because of their sinfulness. Because God is holy, 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 holy. You go into the book of Revelation and the Bible says there are angels around his throne. Every moment. They're in eternity, so we couldn't say 24/7 because they're not in the realm of time. But they are in the realm of eternity. So they are perpetually before the throne of God, worshiping him. I love what one commentator says in reference to that. It says the awesome thing about this is that those angels are never bored doing what they do, because in every moment of their worship and praise, they are catching a glimpse of a greater level of his power, his greatness, and who he is. Now think about that for a moment. It makes perfect sense. That's why they said, holy, 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 holy. I mean, they do it perpetually. They never stop. Because every moment, they're catching a glimpse of His greatness. And every time they catch a glimpse of His greatness, they begin to worship Him even more. And they've been doing it for eternity. Think of it. Maybe that's why the Bible says, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But His Spirit gives us some insight. That's why you got to know Him. Humanity is incapable of knowing God on their own because of their sinfulness, because God is holy, holy, holy. We do not have the ability to commune with a holy God because we lack the standard of holiness. But thank God, Jesus Christ makes that communion possible. Praise the name of Jesus. I believe that's why Paul said, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Do you know Him, my friends? I'm not asking, do you know about Him? Do you know Him? Have you experienced Him? Do you have the assurance that if you were to leave this earth today, that you belong to Him? You got to know that. You have to know that. Because we have no guarantee in this life. None whatsoever. But it shouldn't matter if we're born again. Believe that's why Paul said, if I live, I live to Him. If I die, I die to Him. So if I live or if I die, it don't really matter. That's what he said. He said, it don't really matter. As a matter of fact, he even took it a step further. He said, the truth is, he said, I would rather die. That's what he said. I would rather die to go and be with Christ, which is far better. If those angels are catching a glimpse of His greatness every moment, yeah. Man, can you imagine? Can you imagine what lies in eternity for the child of God? See, that's why we have to preach the gospel so people will not be lost, so that they will experience God through all of eternity. So to do exploits, we must know Him, not know about Him. We have to know Him through personal experience. I'm almost done. Let me give you the next one here, number four. See, growth in relationship produces impact. So I don't want to just know God. I want to be growing in that relationship. Becky and I are coming up on 40 years of marriage. That's a long time. That's a long time. But I'm telling you, you know, my father-in-law's church, every time they used to have a birthday or an anniversary, they pull out a little model church, and they'd set it on the communion table. And does anybody have birthdays today? Anybody have anniversaries? And then, you know, those would say, yeah, I did. And then they had to come and bring an offering to put in the church. I used to always wonder about it. Shouldn't? Isn't that kind of backwards? I mean, if you have an anniversary or a birthday, don't you get a gift? But that's how it worked in those days. You know, I'll understand the premise. The premise was, you know what, you've been granted another year, so now, you know, come sow some seed. We got to fix the roof, praise God. And, you know, and Pastor Hunt used to say for the anniversaries, because we'd always sing a song. They'd sing happy birthday, and then they'd sing an anniversary song. They always say, now, what song do you want? Sweeter as the years go by, or when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. You know, there was a couple of occasions where people chose when the battle's over. That's not for you and I, baby. That's a long time. But you know, we still grow in relationship. You still grow in marriage. You know, because it's a love dynamic. And you grow in relationship. You know, because it's a growing process. Same thing applies in relationship to God. We don't just come to an altar one day, commit our life to Jesus, and then, you know, go on our way singing, and we'll talk it over in the sweet by and by, or, you know, when the roll is called up yonder, or even some of the more modern songs. You know, I'm kind of going back to classic hymns here, but you know, that relationship, I mean, when you become a Christ follower, that's just the beginning point. That's just the beginning point of learning and growing and experiencing God and getting greater revelation of who He is, greater experience of His power and His anointing. So growth in relationship, my friend, is what will produce impact. The time is now for life impact. The time is now for you and I to become a catalyst for God. Let me give you this statement in, again, Book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." I want you to notice that it says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. There was something about this Daniel. Now, how did Daniel have an excellent spirit? See, to have an excellent spirit means that you are drinking daily of the living water of life. We cannot drink of the polluted water of this world and have an excellent spirit. Did y'all catch that? Because the world in which we live is full of anger, bitterness, thievery, get over, bad attitude, unhappy. I mean, all of, you know, people in the world. I feel so sorry for people because there's so many people that I encounter and they just seem so depressed. And I think they are. I don't know why. I don't know what traumas of life, but we live in a world where people are hurting deeply. And my heart feels for them. You know, because they need, you know, the world will chew you up and spit you out. And as long as people drink, they constantly drink of the world spirit, the world, the pollution of the world, the toxic things of the world, they cannot have an excellent spirit. See, Jesus offers us living water. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, the woman at the well, she came and she said, "Sir," Jesus asked for her, you know, she was getting water, so he asked for a drink from her. She said, "Sir, I have no, the well's deep," and she began to make all these, you know, these excuses, and then Jesus begins dialogue with her, and he says, "If you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask of him water, and he would give you living water. Because the water out of this well, you'll drink, but you'll be thirsty again. But the water that I give you," oh, come on, somebody. Listen, he was talking about impact. He was talking about impact. You know what he was saying? He was saying, now is the time. Now is your moment. Now is the time. Then she said, "You know, sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Y'all know the story. Many of you know the story. And he said, "I want you to go and get your husband and come back." Y'all know that, right? She said, "Sir, I don't have a husband." And then Jesus said, "Yeah, you've had 7 husbands. And the guy you have now is not your husband." That was a Jesus, let's get real moment. Isn't it amazing how Jesus confronts issues with people? But he was offering her living water. Living water. He said, I'm going to give you water. That's why we always make a joke about it, you know, that, you know, she ran out of that place and she went running into the village. And, you know, I found a man. I found a man. And all the community was saying, oh, no, not another one. Not another one. When is that girl going to quit? I am going to give you living water. See, what does that mean? What does it mean to grow in relationship, to have impact? What does it mean to live with an excellent spirit? It means that the spiritual principle governs your life. See, so many times we allow emotions to govern our lives. Jesus was distinct because spirit dominated, spirit governed his life. The spirit principle. That's why he said, I am offering you living water. Hallelujah. So growth in relationship. I want to have an excellent spirit, so I got to drink of his water. Every day I have to drink of his water. And the more I drink, the more excellence develops. I drink more excellence. I drink more life. I drink more. Then all of a sudden, man, you find that you are just living and walking in a realm that is just awesome, incredible, and unbelievable because of what God is doing on the inside. Now, let me get to the last and final thing right here, and I want you to get this one. I want you to get this one. Because impact, my friend, means an explosion of effectiveness. How many of you want to be more effective? You want to be effective in your life. Effective in every area. Effective in relationships. Effective in your business. Effective in career. Effective in all of those. Effective for God, touching people. Acts 1:8, the Bible says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. I love that word power, because that word power is the Greek word dunamis. It means to have ability. It means to have resources. It means to have miraculous force. It means power residing on the inside of us. So my friends, I have to ask you, do you have dunamis operating in you today? That, my friend, is what we need. Now is the time. You cannot have a life of impact without the power of the Holy Spirit. It can't happen. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we could live a life of impact, so that we could fulfill what He's called us to do. Now is the time for a life of impact. Now is the time for effectiveness. Ephesians chapter 3. I quote this verse all the time, these two verses, but I want to quote it again. It says in verse 19, to know, there's the word know again, genosko, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do, just let it sink in. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the dunamis that is working in us. Hallelujah. He is able to do. Impact means an explosion of effectiveness. That's why I'm always praying, God, give us an explosion. And God spoke to me at the beginning of this year, and I just got that word. 2018, you're going to see some breakthroughs. 2018, you're going to see some things bust loose. 2018, and we are in it, and we are experiencing it, and I can't wait to see what God does next. Hallelujah. Let me end with this. Let me end with this. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray, God. We're going to ask the Lord today. We need some dunamis in our lives. We're going to ask Him, and He's going to give it, because the Bible said, Jesus said, if you ask, you will receive. Hallelujah. But I'm going to end with this story. All right, now I know football season's about to start. and LSU Tigers. We're all Tiger fans, right? We probably don't have too many Alabama fans. You know why I'm an Alabama fan? Because Forrest Gump became an All-American at the University of Alabama. And he was fast. All right, I'm going to leave you with this story. National championship. Alabama, this past January. I know y'all hate Nick Saban, but y'all better not. Can't hate. Right? Don't like. I don't like him. You don't like his success. Well, let me not mess with y'all on that. Y'all might get mad at me. But I want to leave you with an illustration. All right, because it looked like Alabama was going to get beat in the national championship game. And then the genius, Saban, throws in a freshman quarterback from Hawaii. I don't even know how to say his name. Or something like that. What coach in their right mind would put in a freshman quarterback in the NCAA college championship game on the line? Nick Saban. All right, so what happens? The guy goes in, he's informed on the bench that he's going to go play the second half. The young man, and you can Google his interview, he's a born-again Christian. He has some dunamis working on... Even in his ESPN interview, he said, when I found out I was going in the game, he said, I just went. He said, I was praying in tongues. The hope. He had a little of what we call dunamis. Listen, if God could send David, a little teenage boy, to deal with a nine foot. I don't know who you think you are, Goliath, that you would deny, that you would defy the armies of the living God. He said, today, I'm about to be the national champion. And you coming down, sucker. They always say, why did David have those other seven stones? Commentators say he was ready for their brothers. Hallelujah. But that young man, freshman quarterback. Now, is God into football? Now, you know, I don't understand the theology behind those things, but I know that this kid believed that God was for him. And if God be for him, who can be against him? Listen. Dunamis, to have ability, resources, miraculous force, power residing on the inside of a person. Now, I know a lot of people are scared about this tongues thing. Man, I never was scared about it. You know, I was so radical for the devil when I got saved and somebody said, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, what's that? He said, well, I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. I said, well, man, I got to have it. I need it. And you know what? I sought God and God gave it to me. And then all of a sudden, all those drug dealers that were trying to get me, all of those girlfriends. I'm a one man, I'm a one woman kind of man. All those people coming out of the woodwork. But man, when I got full of the Holy Spirit, when I got a little of this dunamis work, and I said, oh, wait a minute, devil. Hallelujah. I have some authority that's been given by God. Hallelujah. I have something flowing on the inside of me that is going to make me effective for the kingdom of God. I got to stop. I got to stop. We got to pray. I'm believing God. I'm believing God for... Listen, God has done told me what's going to happen in this church. And it's scaring me. But I understand. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time to live a life of impact. Today, I call each and every one of you out of low life living, out of dead existence, out of non-spiritual governing lifestyles, and I call you into the dunamis of Almighty God, that you will not be the same. You will do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So my only question is, who wants to go with me into some higher places in God?